inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, we answer some listeners' questions, and with us in line, as usual, is Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Good morning, Ed.
You could have led that one with listeners' burning questions, I think.
Well, before we get to their burning questions, let's get to another burning issue. I pretty much know what you're going to remind us about here. It's probably gotten a little hot in some greenhouses, and probably some plants have probably been going without a little bit of moisture, right?
Oh, they can't pump. They can't pump it up out of the soil fast enough. And I know I talked to one lady who had pots, hanging baskets with tomatoes in them, and she had to water them twice yesterday. I mean, I saw my hottest temperature ever. I pegged my thermometer above 120 degrees day before yesterday. Oh, only 117 yesterday. And yeah, so we were watering, of course. That helped remind me that I really, really need to leave the doors open and make sure we have ventilation. You know, whether it be hot weather, we need ventilation. And if it's cool, moist weather, we need ventilation.
Okay. And then we might ease off a little bit on the watering here with the showers, but still should probably keep that going, right?
Well, yeah, keep track of it, obviously. You know, your plants will tell you if they really need water when they wilt, which is unfortunate, but that also for things like tomatoes, at least. Some plants, if they get too dry, they die. With tomatoes, they're tough enough that they'll usually come back, assuming you water them. And don't be afraid to water in the sunshine. It is an old wives' tale about don't get water droplets on the leaves or they'll burn in the sun. You know, wait till it gets cooler. Just water them. But that stress also can stimulate the tomatoes, at least, to need, want to flower and bear fruit. I hope mine do. They're just starting to flower now, but I've been visiting some very nice ones, seeing some green tomatoes, and you know, you joked about fried green tomatoes on the plants, perhaps.
Okay, let's get to the questions. John writes, I have 4x16 garden beds and salvaged single-pane storm windows with metal frames, building covers. Should I leave lots of vents to dry or little to hold heat? What's your recommendation for him?
Definitely ventilation. You know, he's going to have to build up some sort of a framework to support the windows, and he has to think about how high, what kind of plants he's going to grow in or under those glass windows, so how high is his framework going to be to support them above that. And if they're single-pane windows, I mean, they're still better than just single-layer visqueen, which is all I have on my greenhouse, but he will still be losing quite a bit of heat, too. But still, warming up the plants and really warming up the soil is the goal here, but we've got to have that ventilation so that we, when we have the high humidity issues, that we don't have the high fungus issues. So ventilation of some sort, and whether that be screens on the ends or if he can somehow hinge these windows to lift, lift one up on each end, perhaps, to let the air, let the hot air out, and maybe while still being able to shed the rainfall at the same time.
Okay, and speaking of fungus, Julie writes, we live in Gustavus and think that our rhododendrons are beyond help. The leaves are covered in rust-colored spots. She apparently had some pictures, but she couldn't send them to us. What do you think is going on there? Is that a fungus?
Most likely. And for her, at least, to do, if she has internet access, to research rhododendron fungus spots and treatment. It's a challenge, for a lot of fungus I can recommend baking soda spray, but not for rhododendrons because that sweetness is bad. The sweetening effects of the baking soda is not good for the rhodies particularly. And then she starts researching fungus or fungicides. Some of those are not very nice for us either. So, and it's certain rhododendrons get those brown fungus spots. It is a variety issue, unfortunately. She may be able to choose some and or research fungus resistant rhododendrons if she wants to replace them. leaf removal works and cleanup, really, for all fungus issues. Again, doing cleanup, removing all the old leaves that fall off underneath them is definitely worthwhile for any of the fungus issues we may have on other plants, too.
And how about just trimming them off, or how about below the plant?
Well, that's certainly raking out from underneath, and even putting a layer of sand and spruce needles. The spruce needles for the acidic qualities, and the sand helped us maybe seal in the fungus spores so they don't get splashed back up onto the leaves, onto the new leaves, which of course are coming out now. So normally she'd be seeing this on the old leaves. If you trim them off, then there may not be any leaves left on the plant. So
no.
That's a hard choice.
Okay. And before we go, we got one big event coming up this weekend.
It is Saturday. The Master Gardeners will have their garden tour. There's 7 gardens on tour this year. That'll be happening from 11 till 4 on Saturday. Tickets are available at the Jack and at Hearthside Books, as well as at seak-mastergardeners.org. Wide range of stuff from lots of their greenhouses and vegetable gardens and beautiful ornamental gardens to be seen. So get your tickets, get a couple folks together, and carpool to go see gardens.
Okay. John and Julie, thanks a lot for your questions. And Ed Bajarski, thanks a lot for answering them. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. We'll see you then, Matt.
To my body and my brain.